I want to read you a passage of Scripture and see if you can tell me who said it. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Who'd you say, Dr. Huff?
Joseph said that to his brothers. It's actually at the very end of Genesis.
Yes.
The whole story. That's almost the very last verse.
Joseph was getting to be an older man now.
His house was after Pharaoh, wasn't it? When they thought he'd have extra power.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but he had come to power in Egypt. This man of God, he was now second only to the king of the country. Great man of power, great man of prestige. And as Dr. Hunt said, here he is looking at his brothers. Hadn't seen him for years. What was he referring to? You intended to harm me. Pardon?
When they put him in the pit.
Yeah.
They looked at him, they thought he would retaliate. That's what they were afraid of. They were in the famine when they
went. How would you like it in your life if everybody around you except mom and dad, your siblings, the people around you, hated you? That's how Joseph started out in life. This is a young lad. His brothers hated him with a passion. Good boy! God gave him dreams. God spoke to his heart, and yet, did he deserve this kind of treatment from his brothers? Huh? His brothers, when he went out to visit them in the field, what Sister Baker said, they put him down in a pit. Some wanted to kill him. Others said, no, but let's put him down in the pit and we'll decide later. How do you think Joseph's heart felt? Here he was, he'd done nothing wrong. He was trusting in the God of his father. He was serving the God of his father. If anything, he should be having a great time in life. But here he is in a pit. Out in the middle of nowhere, his brothers trying to decide what to do with him, whether to kill him or what to do. You know what they did? They took his coat and they killed a goat, and they dipped his coat in blood and took it back to Dad and said, you know, he got killed by a big bad beast. In the meantime, his brothers, can you imagine this? Here's this good lad with God in his heart, starting out in life, trusting God, depending on God, hearing from God. But here he is being sold by his brothers into slavery to a bunch of foreigners. Well, that's a new light. I don't know. Are we going to blame Dad now? Did Mom have anything to do with it too? Why are you picking on Dad, not Mom? Huh?
Joseph and Benjamin.
But still, Joseph was a good boy. What was that feeling? What do you think it felt like when they put him with this bunch of people going off to know who knows where? Priscilla.
Go back a little bit when he had the dream that all these sheaves were dying to him. Maybe the Lord was encouraging him, not even though he didn't know what was ahead of him. That dream may have encouraged him.
Well, I'm sure it did, but at the same time, it made his brothers jealous. So he's taken off in a caravan of traders, sold by his own brothers. Never probably see dad again. Never see mama again. Out in a strange country, sold to a businessman down the road someplace in another country. And well, things look like they're going to take a turn now. The businessman sees that this young man is blessed. He has a good attitude. He has a good spirit. And so he puts him in charge of all of his affairs. And guess what? God is blessing. And while the businessman is out of town, Mrs. Potiphar decides she wants to have a fling with him. Being the good, righteous, responsible, moral young man that he is, he flees, lets his jacket behind. And so she accuses him now of raping her. And here he is, another turn for the worse. They send him off to prison. He's spending years in prison. This is supposed to be one of God's good children. What's going on here? Why is this happening to such a wonderful and good and responsible and moral young man? Anybody here ever had anything bad happen to you? Just a half a dozen? I'm asking. Anybody? Have you ever had anything negative? Anything bad happen in your life? And you ask the question, God, what's going on here? What's happening? I'm on your side, God. Where are you? Well, he spends years in prison. God's man. Gets acquainted with a couple fellows down there and he says, you go back to the king. Please remember me before the king, would you? And guess what? That guy gets back before the king and he's, you know, back in the king's court. And he forgets all about Joseph. Lets him down there in the old prison. Till finally one day the king had a dream. And this guy that was in the king's court remembered, hey, there was a fellow in prison. He knew what dreams were all about. And so he called him up. And God touched Joseph again. And he was able to tell what the dream meant. And the king put him in charge. And now here he is, second to the king, speaking to his brothers, you intended to harm me. But God intended it all for good. But wait a minute. Hold your horses. Whoa, here. What in the world is taking place here? Joseph, don't you realize, don't you remember what all you've been through, boy? God meant it for good. You wanted to harm me, but God intended it all. He sold into slavery, accused of rape, fought into prison for years on end. God, how in the world could you ever see any good coming out of all of that? Have you ever been there? Have you ever gone through a tough time and a tough situation in your life and you look up and say, God, how in the world is this any good for me? I remember Sister Pat falling down the steps. Yeah, but when you get up after you fell down the steps, what'd you say? Yes, fell down a step to get up, and the Lord spoke to her, said, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. She said, don't give me that. How in the world is falling down the steps going to do me any good, huh?
Oh, when I was in the hospital, I found out my blood pressure was
way up. So good did come out of it. Amen. We ask these questions. We go through these times. We're trying our best to serve the Lord. We're trying our best to do what's good. Now, you know, there's a lot of preachers that won't deal with this subject. They want to give you the positive input on life. And if you just think right and live right and do good, then everything's going to be good and happy. And you know what happens? Someplace along the line, those people run into some bad times. They're sold into slavery, or they're put in the pit, or they're accused falsely, and they end up seemingly in a prison of life. And then they're saying to that positive preacher, where's God at now? Boy, I've gotten really off, Emily. I want you to take a look at this, and I want you to see the picture as Christ sees it. Could not have God elevated Joseph to that position where he was without going through all of this? Why didn't he do it? God could have just taken Joseph in his fancy coat right into Pharaoh's court and made him prime minister right there. And isn't that the question we all wonder at times? God, why? Why do I have to go through tough times of life? I'm your child. I'm living for you. I'm serving you. If there is a lesson here, just show it to me, Lord. I don't have to go through all of this stuff to learn it. Please, just show me what I need to know. If God loves me, then why is this happening to me? If God hears my prayers, then why am I still single? And somebody doesn't love me? If God is in control of the world, why is life so hard? Real questions that real people ask. You're going through cancer, when you're going through divorces, when you're going through tough times of life, when you've been given negative thoughts, then you begin to say, oh God, why is this? What is the end result? Has come. These are real life questions. And now, I know we are in a church, in church, and when we're in church, you know, we like to play these religious games. There are rules for religious games. Don't show any pain. When you come to church, turn on your smile. A smile on your face. Don't show any pain. How are you feeling today? You know, they ask the question. And we have to be, positive. How are you feeling today? Oh, fine, too blessed to be stressed. Blessed and highly favored of God, I've heard that one. I've also heard, wonderful brother, God's been good. If I was any better, there'd be two of me. If you come in church and you're feeling bad and you're going through a tough time, just make everybody go through it with you. Huh?
No complaints.
No complaints. Because you're looking at the big picture. Oh, there, and thirdly, if they don't show any pain and you always have positive something to say, get more involved. Yes. So sign up and sign on and do more and work harder, and maybe, just maybe, God will notice what you're doing. Those are just three of the rules of the religious game we play. While deep down in our hearts we're struggling and we cry and we call out to God and all sorts of questions and doubts. You get up some morning and your eyesight is gone almost. And you say, God, what happened here? Where are you? Don't you know I sing for you? Don't you know, Lord, I give of my life to you to make others happy and serve the Lord? And why this? I'm going to talk with you about these issues and what the Bible says. Today, let me give you the foundational principle to keep us grounded in Christ and help us through the crisis of faith and the struggles of life. I know you all have them. I know that you all face these struggles of life and these crises from time to time in your lives. Sometimes they seem too big to handle and more than what you can comprehend. So how are we going to stay grounded in Christ? Number one, I want you to know the number one principle is that God sees the big picture. Amen? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am also fully known. You see, Paul was explaining that we will not have the total picture until we reach eternity. I can't know what all happens and why it happens in my life, in your life, because I don't see the whole picture. And I will not see it until I reach eternity. Sister Nola, you could say, why in my life have I had to bury these children of mine? That shouldn't be. I've served you, Lord. I've lived for you. And my kids, at times I've turned them over to you. And I've said, oh Lord, please save. Save my family and my household. And yet I have to bury them. Why? We don't see the full picture. And won't until we get to eternity. Now here is what is so difficult for us. We must learn to accept life with partial understanding. Can you imagine Joseph going through the things that he went through and he couldn't understand? Why in the world did Mrs. Potiphar accuse me like this? I was doing a good job for him. I was doing things that made her life comfortable and made her life more pleasant. And she'd turn around and do a thing like that to me. I don't don't understand. He had to learn to live. I don't understand it all, but I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways I'll acknowledge Him, and He will direct my path. Too often in church we give pat answers to complicated questions. We make coming to Christ mean all problems are solved, all the bills are paid, my wife becomes nice, or my husband acquires sainthood. My dog won't bark and the children are all potty trained like that. Yeah. That's where you go. You go to some churches and that's what you feel like when you walk out the door. But it just isn't so. And many Christians become confused and disillusioned with God when they hit the bad places of life. It is the absence of meaning that makes our situation so intolerable. Just can't understand why. You ever been there? You ever said, God, I don't understand this. I don't know. I can't comprehend it. What are you going to do? And when this happens, the depression over sudden illness or the tragic death of a loved one actually is more severe to the Christian than it is to that individual who's not expecting anything from God. It's much like a little girl being told by her divorced father that he'll come and see her. When daddy fails to show up, she suffers far more than if he had never offered to come. And so we get to feeling like that with God. Sometimes Christians feel as though God just never shows up. And I am stuck having to go through this situation. The key word here is expectation. Expectations often set up for disillusionment and disappointment. We're expecting one thing of God. Oh, yes, I'm serving God. I'm living for the Lord. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm faithful to the Lord. So bless God. I'm going to have a good life and a wonderful time. And I'm never going to run into a roadblock or anything else. How many believe that? No, you don't. You know that someplace down the road, amen, things are going to, what I would expect are not going to happen. And then if I have my expectations set that God is going to just take care of everything for me and everything going to be peachy keen and all of that sort of thing, then when problems come, I'm going to say, I'm disillusioned with you, God. Where are you? There's no greater distress in human experience than to build one's entire way of life on a certain theological understanding and then have it collapse at a time of unusual stress and pain. So, as often is the case, we deal with the anguish of rejection. God, where are you? Don't you love me? Where are you? Don't you see what I'm going through? Don't you see this prison that I'm sitting in? You know, Joseph could have sat down there through the years and he could have just had himself a misery party every day. He could have said, oh God, I'm miserable, I'm down, don't you see me? You've rejected me, you've refused me. But when he got to the place where he saw the full picture, what did he say? God meant it for good. He couldn't see it then when he was in prison. But he was just trusting God. We feel that the God whom we have loved, worshiped, and served turns out to be silent and distant and uncaring in the moment of our greatest need. That is why I begin with this principle. God sees the big picture. Say it with me. God sees the big picture. God sees the big picture. He sees the whole thing. With our limited view and an obscured vantage point, we tend to see the immediate, the temporary, the moment in time, the snapshot right now. But God is without limits. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God is omniscient. God sees it all and He knows it all.
Amen.
I suppose that Joseph wondered more than once, what in the world is going on? Rejected by his own brothers, threatened by them. Instead of killing him, they just put him in a hole and leave him to die. Sell him into slavery. Talk about cruel. That was cruel. Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him. He lands up in prison. Nothing plush about that. You would think at this point, anyone would begin to wonder, what's wrong with me? Like that old hee-haw song. Anybody remember hee-haw? They used to sing a song, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Oh, gloom, despair, and agony on me. But never forget. I said, never forget. God sees what?
The big picture.
The big picture.
Amen.
You know Job, how many remember him? How many know he went through a tough time?
Amen.
Huh? How many remember he questioned God? He's gone through what I've said here. And was he a righteous man? Yes, he was. He was righteous before the Lord. But listen to Job in the 23rd chapter of his writing. Verses 3 and 5 through 10. Listen to what he said. If only I knew where to find God, I would go to His court. Then I would listen to His reply and understand what He says to me. Would He use His great power to argue with me? No, 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 no. He would give me a fair hearing. Honest people can reason with him, so I would be forever acquitted by my judge. If I can just find God and I can go talk to him, boy, it's going to turn out all right. Then he says, I go east, he's not there. I go west, I cannot find him. I do not see him in the north, and for he is hidden. And I look to the south, but he is concealed. But he knows where I am going. Listen to this man. You talk about being in a tough place. A righteous man lost all 10 of his kids in one day. They all died at one time. 10 of his children lost all of his riches in one day and set in a pile of ashes with a broken piece of pottery scraping the boils on his skin. Then his lovely wife held that valentine he had. Come and said, Job, why don't you just curse God and go ahead and die? I believe I'd buy her a valentine. But in the midst of his struggle, in the midst of his trial, he says, even though I can't find God to sit down and talk with him, he knows where I'm going. And when he tests me, I will come out as pure as gold. Oh, wow. See, God sees where we are now. God knows exactly where you are. He says he sees where we are going, and he sees the place, he sees the end game he has for us. Corrie ten Boom, good Christian lady, was in a Nazi concentration camp. She wrote this: "My life is like a weaving between God and me. I do not choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Sometimes he weaves in sorrows, and I in foolish pride forget that he sees the upper and I see the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why. Till then the dark threads are necessary in the skilled weaver's hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned." So you see, God sees the full picture. We don't. What we have to do is trust in Him. Put our faith in Him, though we can't see the end picture as He does. Here is what I want you to get from the very beginning of this. God knows what He is doing. How many believe that?
Amen.
You really believe God knows what He's doing?
Yes.
He sees the whole plan and purpose for our lives and is constantly, steadily, lovingly moving us closer to Him and His best for our lives. Brother Harry, I could sit down and try to give you all kinds of scenarios as to why God allowed this to happen in your life. Well, maybe, Brother Harry, just maybe He's going to use this to help you to be closer to the Lord. Maybe if you were going on through life, you would just kind of take things for granted and, you know, you wouldn't do as much for God as what. But now, He's used this to bring you closer to Him, to bring you closer to Betty. Because now you have to kind of depend on her. Whereas before, you know, if she didn't do everything and cook that lemon pie just like you wanted it, you might say to her, "Well, be that way, I'll go to the store and buy me one." But now you're closer. I could come up with all kinds of scenarios. But I don't know the end result. I don't see the full picture and what He knows is best for my life. God knew the future for His people Israel. Joseph's placement as prime minister wasn't just to bless Joseph for what he had been through and a payback for the suffering that he had gone through. God wanted Joseph there for the salvation of His people. And so He allowed him to go through all of this. You see, God made a promise to Abraham of prolonging his family and offspring and blessing and preserving Israel so that our ultimately the Savior Jesus Christ could come to this earth and die for the redemption of mankind. Amen.
March the 13th. I don't want Teddy. Teddy doesn't do nothing. I want you.
Amen. But you see that desire to try to understand and to figure out. Why did you take my independence, you know? Why, Lord, am I in this position? This is where we have to say God sees the big picture. He knew what He wanted to do through Abraham and through the children of Israel. And if they had starved to death up there in their land because they had no corn, if they were not able to come down to Egypt and to see Joseph, if Joseph hadn't been there, if Joseph hadn't prepared for the famine, then Abraham and all of his family would have died of starvation and Jesus wouldn't have come. Wow, you talk about a big picture. See, God understood it all. This deal with Joseph was bigger than Joseph. This difficult period was much more sacred to God than Joseph ever could have imagined. Because of Joseph's struggle and faithfulness, we have hope today.
Amen.
Amen. You nor I may have the answer for all of our difficulties and the answers for others' difficulties. But let us know this. There is purpose in our trials. There is reason for our struggles. There is a plan in our pain. Can you say that with me? There is a plan in my pain. There is a reason for my struggles. You see, and God sees it and knows it and designs the purpose and the reason and the plan. And all He wants us to do is trust that He does all things for our good. Amen?
Amen.
He loves us too much to abandon us. God will never abandon you, though it may seem like it, though you may struggle with it, though you may wonder. You do what the wise man Solomon said again, trust in the Lord. With all of your heart, lean not to your own understanding, trying to figure it all out, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. Isn't that what Joseph did?
Yes.
And the end result, but there he stood before his brothers. His plan, God's plan in Joseph's life was made perfect. And he could say to them, "You intended to do me harm, but God intended it all for good. And He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." When we get there and stand in the very throne room of God, and if we're allowed to look back across our lives and we see the happenings of our life and we see how God was there through it all so that now we could stand in His presence eternally preserved for the glory of God. Then we'll see the big picture and it'll all be clear. Stand with me.
Now you can turn to your neighbor and you say, "You know, God knows what's going on with me.